Oreos. We all know and love them. And if you've been eating Oreos since your childhood, you should know that eating an Oreo is an experience in itself. Although it is very controversial which way eating an Oreo is the correct way, the most well-known technique here in America is the so-called twist, lick, and dunk technique, where you twist open the cookie, then lick the filling, and then lastly, dunk the two sides of the cookie into milk. Oreos are probably the most known cookies throughout the world, except in China and India. And in this podcast, I, your hostess, Serena Chishti, will be jumping into the world of the globalization of an Oreo and why they are more known in some areas like the US and less in Asia, for example. Alrighty, guys, let's get this podcast rolling, shall we? Okay, so first I'm going to give you all a brief history on the Oreo, and then after that, I will get more into the globalization of this brilliant cookie. It all started in 1898 when several baking companies merged together to form the National Biscuit Company, also called Nabisco, which then later got owned by the bigger, more known food industry, Kraft. Little did people know that this tiny Nabisco company would have turned into one of the most known and popular cookie industries in the world by 1912, when Nabisco had an idea for a new cookie that would generate sales of $3.28 billion. This cookie they had in mind would have two chocolate discs with a cream filling in the middle of it. Although Nabisco never intended to steal or take major inspiration from another company's idea, this type of cookie with two decorated chocolate discs with white cream sandwiched between them had already been produced by the Sunshine Biscuits Company in 1908. Their cookie was called Cookie Hydrox. The so-called Cookie Hydrox was no match for Nabisco's Oreo, though, and soon after the Oreo was released, it quickly surpassed the popularity of its competitor. Nabisco soon later filed a trademark on their cookie on March 14, 1912, and this trademark was officially granted on August 12, 1913. So basically, the Oreo started off as a small local company that then reached out and globalized itself in a blink of an eye. To show you about how globalized this product really became, I brought you some handy dandy statistics. Today, approximately 34 billion Oreos are sold each year. That means 92 million Oreos per day. An estimated 500 billion Oreo cookies have been sold since the first Oreo was released in 1912. I can't believe that these little guys have become this popular, especially since this company started from a local town. Now, you go into a store in Asia, Europe, Africa, or any other part of the world, and it is almost guaranteed that you will find an Oreo pack sitting somewhere on one of the racks. It's just so crazy to see such a spread of a product across national borders and cultures, considering that at first, the Oreo was only really popular here in America. I guess this vegan, yes, you heard me right, vegan, delicious cookie just stole the heart of many, many people. But although this is the case, the marketing muscle of this product also played a huge role in this cookie's dominance. Okay, so now that we have a bit of background information on the Oreo, let's take a deep dive into the adaptations of an Oreo around local markets worldwide. In 1996, Kraft introduced their famous cookie to China, thinking it was going to be just as big of a hit there as it was here in America. But after some experimenting, the company soon realized that Oreos were not getting the attention they thought they would get in not only China, but also India. China and India haven't always had the same mindset when it comes to opinions, and this has once again been proven with the whole idea of the Oreos. In China, most treats are not very sweet, or at least not as sweet as the treats here in America. So when the Chinese were introduced to the Oreo cookie, they thought the Oreos were way too sweet. In India, however, the famous American cookies were just too bitter for their liking. Two extremely different opinions. After this crucial feedback was received, Kraft knew some changes had to be made so that their cookie would become even more successful and enjoyable to all people throughout the world, even if this meant taking a risk. They made the big yet risky decision to create new Oreo flavors, which would either be a make or break, since these Oreo flavors were honestly quite strange. The pro of creating these new Oreo flavors would be that the Oreo company becomes more successful in more regions because of the different taste preferences around the world, and that these new flavors could even potentially become more popular than the original Oreo flavor and lead to even more profit and so-called cookie dominance. But there would also be some cons involved. By creating such weird new Oreo flavors like wasabi or watermelon, it is almost certain that these tastes wouldn't necessarily be the most appealing to all people, which could potentially lead to a fund crash, although this would have probably been very unlikely. So since there seemed to be more benefits for producing and releasing new Oreo flavors, Nabisco decided to go ahead and take that risk. These variations of the Oreo that were made now demonstrate how Oreos adapt around the world and to different tastes and preferences of local markets worldwide. For example, in China, cylindrical green tea, hot chicken wing, and wasabi Oreo cookies were made into a thing. Although the cylindrical Oreos were not the biggest hit either, the weird flavor combinations such as green tea and wasabi, as mentioned before, got a lot of attention. Since these flavors were so unique and many people were curious to try this new and interesting creation, the weird flavored cookies spread to the US and other parts of the world once again, by which huge profit was made. In addition, in Indonesia, orange ice cream Oreo cookies and the very well-known golden Oreo cookies were introduced in the year 2011. I can probably imagine that you have heard of the golden Oreo cookies, and you probably know what they are, but if you don't, then do not fear, because the golden Oreo cookies are basically just the Oreo's chocolate cookies replaced by milk-flavored cookies. It's really that simple. These new Oreos match the different preferences in taste of not only Indonesia, but many other countries worldwide. So this was yet another big win for Kraft. Okay, now that we're back from our amazing sponsorship of today's episode, let's take a further look at the exact reasoning behind their major fail in the Oreo market in China and India and Indonesia originally, and what market strategies Kraft used to sell their cookies. Well, as mentioned previously already, part of the reason why Oreos originally failed in China and India is because China thought the cookies were too sweet, while India and Indonesia thought the cookies were just too bitter. Although this is a very valid reasoning why the Oreos drastically failed in those major locations, it is only part of the reason. It may come as a surprise for you to hear this if you are an American, but people in India and China were not familiar with the twist, lick, and dunk technique, making the Oreos taste very different and more bland, as silly as it sounds. The twist, lick, dunk technique originated here in the US, so honestly it doesn't come to a huge surprise that other countries were not familiar with the system. Part of the reason why the Oreos became so popular as well is because they are very nostalgic, since many kids ate and still eat them very often to this day, and since the TLD technique has been used in the US for a long time already, older people would buy the Oreos just for the nostalgia. People in China and Indonesia and India, however, wouldn't know the nostalgic technique, and that's why not many adults bought them in China. This was yet another contributing factor to the failed distribution in Asia. This ritual for eating the cookie also helps Oreos differentiate themselves from other cookies, so many people in the US would buy them just for this ritual. In Asia, as you can probably already imagine, since this technique was not very popular there, the Oreo cookies just seemed like other plain and boring cookies that were either just too sweet or too bitter. So in conclusion, this technique is a very effective marketing strategy, but for it to be very effective, obviously people need to know about this system. So Kraft decided to make an ad where this technique was taught to people, so that the Oreo cookie could reach its full marketing potential in not only America, but throughout the world. It's important to note as well that companies that want to globalize and enter new markets need to think about how their product or marketing strategy may need to adapt to achieve success in that new international market. Local culture, local norms, local tastes, local perceptions, and more all need to be taken into account. What sells successfully in one part of the world may not be successful in another part of the world. Globalization may mean adaption, but once adaptions for a new market take place, they can have success in the home market as well. An example of this is in fact the overall globalization of the Oreo. Kraft adapted the Oreo for Indonesia and China, and then something the company never imagined would work in the US, in fact did. It was a very, very big win. It was a new product adapted from the original and then brought back to the US. That's just so cool. Now, what could the future hold? Well, the future is always quite uncertain because things are changing every day, every second. But if I had to make a hypothesis on what the future holds for the Oreo brand and cookie, then I would have to say that I think these cookies are just going to keep on adapting and evolving to suit different taste preferences around the world, which means they're going to get even more profit. Since Oreos are also already one of the most known cookies throughout the world, especially in America, I would say that the future can only keep getting better for them in terms of profit, popularity, and globalizing their cookie even further. Unless, however, some new cookie brand owned by someone called, Serena Chishti just magically appears and takes everyone by surprise. But, you know that won't happen. that's just ridiculous. Well, anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining me today on this milky ride through the globalization of an Oreo. I hope you all enjoyed this episode as much as I did.